the time is to celebrate now.
For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, authority rests upon his shoulders.
And his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace.
The time is for rejoicing. The time for rejoicing is now. Let us praise God.
You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, good evening.
Good evening.
So let me get this straight. This is the night where the greatest of all stories is told, the coming of a Savior whom prophets had foretold, where angels serenade shepherds with song and a star hanging high in the heaven drew the Magi along. It is a night of majesty and mystery, a night that ended up changing all of human history. And the best you got when I say good evening is rrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr sisters, good evening.
Good evening.
Much better. Tonight, I welcome each and every one of you here to this holy place. I invite you to let go of everything that has happened before today. I invite you to let go of everything you have yet to do before tomorrow comes. And simply be here. Turn off the smartphones and iPads. Quiet your minds and open your hearts. And most of all tonight, listen. Just listen. For tonight, we don't just tell the story of something that happened a long time ago in a place far away. We tell the story about something that is still happening, about God's love that is still unfolding right here in Stockbridge. Now, if you listen carefully to the readings tonight, you will hear this in one of them. You will hear angels saying, "I bring you good tidings of great joy. For there is born to you, yes, to you and you and you, a Savior." And that angel says that Savior shall be for all people. All people. There are no caveats or asterisks, no exclusions or fine print. The Savior for whom we gather tonight is for all people. And that means on this very night, Christ comes for each and every one of us to offer healing, to offer grace, to offer hope and new life if we just open ourselves to it. So friends, welcome. Welcome to all people, really all, to the old and to the young, the saint and the sinner, the gay and the straight, the joyful and the sorrowful, to those who find this to be the happiest time of year, and most especially to those for whom this time of the year is connected to loss, or loneliness, or sadness, or burden. Welcome to the sure and the questioning, those who wanted to come tonight, and those of you who were dragged here by someone else. Welcome to those of you who came for the story, the songs, the candles, and even the one or two of you who might have come for the sermon. Welcome to this holy place and most holy of times. Friends, we have come to do nothing less than to greet the very Prince of Peace. And so before we do another thing, before we sing, before we settle in to listen, I invite you to stand as you're able and turn to those seated immediately around you and offer the gift that the Christ child came to give all of us, a gift that is meant to be given away that it might grow, and that is the gift of peace. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you. Now give it to one another. When you have shared enough peace, when you have given away enough love, you may be seated.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding.
during the time of Advent, as darkness grows in the world and the days get shorter, we as people of faith do a curious thing. We light 4 small candles to drive that light away. Tonight, we add a 5th. We light the Christ candle to announce that Christmas is here. I invite the Reverend Dr. Max Stackhouse and his wife Jean forward to light the Advent wreath.
Tonight, as we relight the 4 Advent candles, we remind ourselves of God's promise of hope, peace, joy, and love. Even as the days have grown shorter in Advent, these candles have been reminders of the gathering of light and the approach of God's great gift to us in Christ. With eyes wide open, ears attuned,
and hearts unguarded, we gather around the wreath one last time, longing to receive the word within the words.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
This night, these words are fulfilled in our hearing and in our living, for the promise of God has come to us. So we light the candle at the center of our wreath and our faith. We light it in the name of the one who is the light. And as Mary did so long ago, we name this light Jesus.
Thank you.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her.
I invite you to stand as you are able and to remain standing through the hymns and the remaining gospel readings as we hear these familiar words describing the birth of the Christ child. Please stand. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
Thank you. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them.
Friends, please be seated. Friends, will you join your hearts and your minds with mine in prayer? Holy and loving God, you who are closer to us than our next breath, and farther away from us than the farthest star, draw near now. Bend down low and oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. And the shepherds made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. All who heard what the shepherds had to say, they were amazed. That's what Luke writes about the birth of Jesus. Luke is actually the gospel of amazement, more than all of the other gospel writers combined, more than Mark, Luke, and John put together. Luke writes endlessly about amazement. More than 50 times in his gospel, Luke talks about the amazement people find whenever they encounter Jesus, and sometimes he uses three or four synonyms for amazement in the same sentence just to make sure we get the point. Luke puts amazement on the tongues of all who encounter Jesus, both the rich and the poor, the powerful and the outcast, and especially people who are in need of hope or healing or fresh starts. And friends, aren't we all in need of hope or healing or fresh starts? The people, they encounter Jesus and they are amazed. But it doesn't stop there. In Luke's gospel, it isn't just that the people are amazed, it's that the people become changed. Luke always, or usually anyway, follows stories of talking about people being amazed with a sentence that they went away full of belief. Now here in Western society, here in educated Berkshire County, when we think of things like belief, we think of things like, I believe the earth is round, that 2 + 2 = 4. When biblical writers wrote about belief, they were talking about something else entirely. The Hebrew and Greek roots for the word belief come from this concept of giving your heart to, something of giving your life over to. And so when people were amazed, it meant that they left giving their hearts and giving their lives over to this one named Jesus. They were amazed. Amazement is a word that often hovers around Christmas each year. Each of us secretly yearn and desire that Christmas this year will be amazing. That when we gather around the tree tomorrow morning or around the dinner table or whatever other customs that you might have as a family, we all hope and pray that it will truly be amazing. And I pray for each and every one of you that it will be so. But if this Christmas is going to be the Luke kind of amazing, one that doesn't just stir our hearts, one that doesn't just lead to tears and joy, but one that changes fundamentally how we live our lives, then we need to pay close attention, not just to the shepherds and their tale, but we need to pay close attention in all of these stories to Mary, to the mother of Jesus, who Luke portrays as the ponderer. Repeatedly, Luke says that Mary ponders things. Was she amazed? Well, maybe. I don't know if you would be amazed if an angel showed up on your doorstep when you were about 13 or 14 years old, when you're engaged to be married, but still a single girl, and said to you, guess what? You're going to be pregnant. Isn't that great? And better than that, the child you're going to carry is going to save the entire world. Amazement might not be the first thing that came to your mind, but in that passage, if you listened, what it said is that Mary took those words into her heart and she pondered them. And then 9 months into her pregnancy, we might ask some of the women who have borne children in this room, 9 months into her pregnancy, her husband said, we're traveling cross country. On the back of a donkey. Forgot to book a room, so we'll see how that works out. Ends up in a stable where she gives birth in the middle of the night. And just when she put the baby down, just when she thought it was okay, these ragtag group of shepherds that she didn't know from a hole in the wall show up to the stable telling her that angels had sent them. I don't know that Mary was amazed. But if you read what it says is that Mary took all of their words into her heart, and she treasured them there, and she pondered them. She gave weight to them. She mulled them over. She kept thinking about them. Because here's what I think Mary knew and figured out through this whole amazingly stressful time. Was that this whole thing was bigger than she was. She knew that the coming of this child, the coming of her son, was not God's final answer, but rather the unfolding of God's love. And through this child, somehow God's miracle was going to work, and lives were going to be healed, and new life was going to be found, and the oppression that they were all living under was somehow going to end. That God's answer to salvation was wrapping love in human flesh and sending it in the form of a baby. And I gotta believe that if Mary didn't trust that this was coming from God, she would have thought that it was all completely and entirely crazy. And so Mary, I think, knew that this whole thing required a whole lot of pondering. And so in the midst of all of it, she took those words into her heart and treasured them and pondered them, and I think she believed, and in Luke's form, she was changed, and her life would never be the same. You know, sometimes in the midst of Christmas, I think we actually take the story we told tonight completely for granted. We listen to the words that have been spoken tonight as we have heard them year after year after year, and we know how the story goes. And maybe we are amazed. Maybe during some of those hymns you get goosebumps like I did. Maybe here amidst flickering candles and a gorgeous room, we are amazed. But all too often, I think those words, they just wash right over us. We lose sight of how amazing, radical, countercultural, and crazy this whole thing is. And yet, how the coming of the Christ child into the world, it changes everything. I think far too often we forget that the angel said to those shepherds that that baby wasn't born to Mary and Joseph. Did you hear that? The angel said that that baby was born to you, to all people, to us. Friends, in just a few short hours, about four, Jesus, the Ancient of Days, the Word of God, the Savior of all that is, will be born again on Christmas Day and will be born to you. But if this really has the chance to live up to Luke's gospel, and if it has the chance to not just amaze us, but to be life-changing, if it has the chance to change how we live our lives and who we follow, then somehow, somewhere, sometime, I implore you to take all of the words you have heard tonight, to treasure them in your heart, and to ponder them. Ponder what Christ being born for you means. How Christ being born for you has the chance for new healing for old wounds that haven't quite closed. How Christ being born for you offers new life in the midst of scarcity or scaredness. How Christ being born to you allows you to shine light wherever in your life there is shadow. In just a few short hours, the most amazing thing is going to happen. Christ is going to be born again to each of us. Whatever you do, friends, whatever it is, please don't let it just wash over you. Take it into your hearts and ponder it. And just imagine what God has in store for you. Blessings on this Christmas and all your days to come. Amen.
Jesus, the Savior, it come for to life, for poor.
Friends, we go from story to living it in our lives by professing that story for ourselves. I invite you to rise as you are able, and with one voice to profess the Christmas Creed as printed in your bulletin. I believe in Jesus Christ and in the power of the gospel begun in Bethlehem. I believe in the one whose spirit glorified a small village, of whose coming shepherds saw the sign, and for whom there was no room at the inn. I believe in the one whose life changed the course of history, over whom the rulers of the earth had no power, and who was not understood by the proud. I believe in the one to whom the oppressed, the discouraged, the afflicted, the sick, the blind, and the injured gave welcome and accepted as Lord and Savior. I believe in the one who, with love, changed the hearts of the proud, and with his life showed that it is better to serve than to be served, and that the greatest joy is giving your life for others. I believe in peace, which is not the absence of war, but justice among all people and nations and love among all. I believe in reconciliation, forgiveness, and the transforming power of the gospel. I believe Christmas is strength and power, and that this world can change if, with humility and faith, we kneel before the manger. I believe that I must be the first one to do so. Please be seated. Friends, here's what I know, that all I have, all I've been given, all I might yet be, is a gift from God. What I need to decide is how much of what God has given me I need to keep for myself. How much of the treasure he has bestowed upon me I need to keep for myself, and how much I can give back into ministries of light and love, of healing and reconciliation. Tonight, we will do what we always do when we gather. We will collect an offering. You need to know this. Tonight, on the night where we celebrate God's greatest gift to us, this church believes that this worship is our gift. And so, therefore, every single penny, every single coin, every single bill or check that you put into the offering plate as it goes by, it will not stay here. It will leave this building and go straight out into ministries of love, mercy, and care. It is in that spirit that tonight's offering will be given and graciously received.
Thank you.
Sisters and brothers, will you rise for the reading of the gospel as found in the Gospel of John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Friends, these are the good news and the good words for today. Rejoice and be glad in them. You may be seated. Friends, tonight we come to celebrate the coming of light into the world. We come to share this light with one another. This is a pretty building, is it not? It is a nice old building built out of wood. Lots of wood that is old and well seasoned. We are about to do something as crazy as send flame around the entire building. We would really like to have a Christmas Eve service again next year. And so a couple of things I'd like to bring to your attention, a couple of rules, if you will. First, never, ever, ever, ever dip a lit candle. When you go to light a candle, the lit candle should remain up. The unlit candle will come in from the side and light to go up. Fair enough? know this. We have fire extinguishers all around the building. We have buckets of water, we really do, all over the place. There is help here should you need it. Try not to need it. For children who are in the room, there are glow sticks, and hopefully parents can help you with that and make them pretty as well. Friends, we light these candles not just to be pretty. We light them not just because it makes us feel good. We light these candles and each of us hold it because on this night we remember that the Christ child was born for each of us and that each of us are called to be Christ's very light in this world. And so hold the candle lovingly, proudly, and safely. We will remain seated for the hymn Silent Night. And I invite you on the third verse in an ancient tradition to raise your candles high in sign of the Christ light coming into the world.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God Almighty.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light.
And there will not be light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light.
For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of God has risen upon you.
For once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light.
This is the message we have heard from Jesus and proclaim to you, that God is light.
For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Oh. God beams from my holy
Please extinguish your candles. Friends, I send you forth tonight with this blessing. As you leave this place and as you go out into the world once again, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you need fear nothing else at all. And may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds as one until we meet again. And let the whole church say,
Amen. Amen.
Friends, Merry Christmas.